We started a series several weeks ago. I'm on part four today. And again, I sent out, how many of y'all get my phone call? Okay, good. And did you get a text with a link on it? And I asked you, if you weren't here last week, to be sure and watch last week's service so we can get you up to par to where we are today. Amen? And I hope that you did that. And if you didn't, just do it this week. But get this series. Lock into it. They're all on our website. And get this series so you know what's going on. Give God one more shout of praise. One more time. Here's where we'll start, right here. All right, we started a series called True Christianity. Because of the time that we live in, we must understand what true Christianity is, because there is pressure from our culture, and unfortunately, pressure from our culture to silence true Christianity, to silence it, to take Christ out of Christianity. I read you a bunch of scriptures about that, about the latter times, and we really are living in that day, living in the day where there will be pressure and persecution for living in true Christianity right here in the United States. So we talked about that, and so we're understanding what it really means to be a believer. And so, look, we came from these passages in Matthew chapter 7. There's a couple parables, a parable that Jesus shared about foundations in life. It's in Matthew and it's in Luke. But in Matthew, and because it's been a couple weeks since I've read the whole thing, let's just read it. It's a few verses. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it starts like this. Jesus saying this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." He says, so not everybody who just says, "Lord, Lord," is actually saved. All right? "Many will say to me in that day," what day? The day of judgment. In that day of judgment, all of us, the quick and the dead, will stand before God, amen, and give account for our life. He says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who do what? Practice lawlessness.'" He's saying there was no change in their life. They were. In fact, they were the ones who said they did all those things. Jesus didn't say it. They said they did all these things. And he said, "But I never knew you." And so we've been, let's go on to the next one. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." And we found out that the rock is Jesus in part one. "And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house," or that life. It's a metaphor for life. "And it did not fall, for it was founded on Jesus," founded on the rock. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them," hears them, but they don't apply them, don't do it. He says, does not do them, "will be likened like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So this Jesus in this parable giving a metaphor of life, and he says at the end of it, because you got to realize that life is very short, and all of us are living, and the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Each of us are going to have a lifespan. We know when the beginning date is, but we don't know when the ending date is. But at that ending date, he says, you're going to stand before me and give an account for your life. And he said, many will come to me that day and say, "But Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? And didn't I do this?" He said, "Yeah, but I never knew you." And so we've been studying, what does that mean to know the Lord? And we found out that word know, it means it's gnosko in the Greek. And we'll look at that in a second. But turn over to your Bible in John chapter 17, verse 1 through 3. John chapter 17, verse 1 through 3. Jesus gave definition to eternal life, and he explains what knowing him is right in that passage. Look here in John chapter 17. By the way, John chapter 17 is where Jesus is at the Last Supper in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. He's at the Last Supper with the disciples. He's going to be crucified, arrested, and buried. He's going to be arrested the next day and then put on the cross, right? And so he's sharing with his disciples at the Last Supper some of the most important things. He's sharing with them what will happen. He goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane and starts praying, and this is what he prays. He says, "Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, 'Father, the hour has come.'" In other words, I've completed my task. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give, look at this, eternal life to as many as you have given him. Jesus came to give us eternal life. And many people think that eternal life means just living eternally, living long. But Jesus defines what eternal life is here. Eternal life is not living long, because every human being is going to live forever. Every human being, because we are spirit, we possess a soul and live in a body, every human being has an eternal spirit. Eternal life, Jesus describes it as this: and this is eternal life, that they may know you. There's that word, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So eternal life defined by Jesus is knowing him. Knowing him. Remember what we said? Jesus said, I never knew you. So eternal life is knowing God. When you get born again, that is that birth that opens the way for you now to know God. Are y'all with me? Amen. So look, with this eternal life then is knowing God. Well, look over in John chapter 3. Y'all know John 3:16, of course, right? But let's look at the pretext and the post-text, the verses right around it. Here it is. I'm in John chapter 3. Everybody know John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Watch this. Just as Moses, Jesus' words here, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, that's in Numbers 23, so the Son of Man must be lifted up on a pole, on a cross is what he's referring to, that everyone who does what? Believes may have what? So here we get the definition of Bible believing. Bible believing actually is, will bring eternal life, which is knowing God. Are you with me? I just want you to connect. Everywhere you see eternal life in the Bible, you'll find out what does it mean to know God. When you look that up, because it's knowing God, right? Jesus defined that. So all you got to do is look up eternal life, and everywhere you see it, it gives some definition to what knowing God is. True believing, oh, I believe in God. No. When you believe in God, that means you know him. And then we got to define that, all right? Look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have. There it is again. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So here we go. Salvation really is knowing God. Salvation is knowing God. They're all synonymous terms. Knowing God, being born again, all of it really means knowing God, right? Go to verse 18. Whoever believes, knows God, in him is not condemned or judged, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. They're already under condemnation. They're already judged, right? Because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Jump to verse 36. Yeah. Last verse in the chapter, I believe. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. There it is again. So true believing. I believe in God. No. And that's what many people think. I believe that there's a God. There's a God. And that's what they think. Many people think, well, I believe that there's a God. That means I'm saved. I said a prayer and I believe that there's a God. And for many, that's the end of it. And that's why Jesus said, no. You said, Lord, Lord, but you didn't believe me. You didn't know me. Are you with me? You didn't really have relationship with me. All right, so we see that whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. That wrath is already on him. When you believe in Jesus and trust in him and know him, God says that wrath is no longer for you, no condemnation for you any longer. Come on, somebody, is this making it clear? So that word know, we've already studied this, but it's gnosko in the Greek, and the Hebrew is yada, Y-A-D-A. But what it means is to intimately know in relationship, become well acquainted with. It's an idiom for sexual intercourse between a husband and a wife. So knowing God is to be in life union with God through Jesus, having an intimate, loving, personal relationship that results in bearing fruit. And over the past several weeks, I've given several scriptures all throughout the scriptures that explain that Adam knew Eve and about Mary, Jesus' mother. This says that when the angel Gabriel came to her and said, "You're going to conceive a child," she said, "How can this be? I've never known a man." She knew men, but that's not what that word's talking about. To know intimately, as in sexual intercourse between a husband and wife. Now, don't get weird about that. God is saying, I need to know you intimately. Intimately, personally. Are y'all with me? Okay, are y'all? And to the point of bearing fruit. I showed you several scriptures throughout the Bible that says when they knew each other, they bore fruit, all right? So true Christianity is an intimate relationship with God that bears fruit in your life. Are y'all with me? There'll be fruit from it. From a true intimate relationship, okay? All right, so last week on Thanksgiving weekend, what we talked about was our union with Jesus and how it's likened to marriage, the marriage relationship throughout the scriptures. And so every time in the Bible when there's a marriage that's discussed, it is a picture of Christ in the church. All throughout the Bible, and I have to do that in another marriage series, but you see it in New Testament as well as the Old, and God even talks about in the Old Testament about how I was married to a harlot. And he's just talking about how the church is, and so on and so forth. Our union with Jesus is likened to marriage relationship throughout the scriptures. So that's what we studied last week, and that's what I really want to make sure as we build today on that foundation that we already talked about over the last 3 weeks, that you understand that you see that in the scriptures. And it will help you to understand how to walk out this life if you understand that it is a marriage between you and God, that you're joined to one. You're one with him once you get born again. And so if you didn't watch it, get it last week. All right, now let's move forward. Are y'all ready? Turn over in your Bible to Philippians. By the way, today we're gonna talk about born of God and know God. The Bible distinguishes the difference between just being born of God and actually knowing God. And there is a distinctive difference, amen? So let's look over at Philippians chapter 3. I'm gonna read verse 10 and 11. I'm gonna read in the NIV translation. Paul talking here, and look what he says. I want you to gnosko, there's that word again. I want to know Christ. He's talking about himself. I wanna know Christ, yes, and look what he describes here, to know the power of his resurrection, and participation in his sufferings. He's describing here some of the characteristics of when you have genuine relationship with Jesus, what will be the result of that. Number one, you'll know the power of his resurrection. We live a resurrected life. All right, watch this. Here's the part we don't like. The power and participation in his sufferings. One translation says the fellowship, the koinonia of his sufferings. If you're married, you know this. In a genuine marriage relationship, there's going to be some great times, resurrected times, but there's going to be some times of suffering. There's going to be some difficult times, some times of sacrifice. And typically, many couples, if they haven't really made strong commitment to each other, during those tough times, they'll fall out of their marriage. So, but I've got to be real with you as Christians. There is some fellowship in suffering. And what that is not suffering of sickness, suffering of cancer, those types of things. That's not what it is. It's suffering, and he spells it out, but it is persecution. When you really do it right, you will be persecuted. All right, and I'll let Jesus explain that in John chapter 15 because he explains it in greater detail. But I want you to see that in his sufferings and becoming like him in his death. Dying out to the flesh is a part of this relationship. Look at the next one. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. He says, I want a fellowship, resurrection. This resurrected life is what this is about, but there's gonna be some suffering in between there. Some persecution. There's going to be, you aren't going to be able to do everything this body wants to do. You're going to have to live out this death that he died. Die out to your flesh so that you will attain to this resurrected life. Say process. Now watch, y'all. In this process of true Christianity, it's really like three different phases. When most people get born again, they know Jesus as Savior. He saves them from their sin. There were most of us, many of us were caught up in some foolishness, some mess, and you got to the end of your rope and said, good God, I think I need Jesus. And you come to your senses and you get born again. But typically, and you say a prayer and you call him Lord, and God is so loving, he takes you right there as you are and meets you right there. But most of us at that point know him as Savior and never move to further relationship where we know him as the second level called friend. And Jesus said, I've called you my friends, but, and there's a several verses, and of course I have so much that I want to tell you. I want to tell you all in one day, and I can't do it. You just got to keep coming back. But if you really begin to know him as friend, as this friend that sticks closer to than a brother, as this friend that has the very hairs on your head number, as this friend that knows what he's birthed you to be in the earth, as this friend that knows everything that he has in store for you, if you'll begin to know him as this close friend, he'll direct you in your life to the career that he's birthed you to be, to do. He'll direct you in marriage. He'll become this friend that walks very close with you and guides you in every aspect of life. You'll really begin to fall in love with him then. And then is when you get to this third stage where you go, Lord, I'll do anything you say. I submit my entire life. Even though it doesn't look like this makes sense, you're my Lord. You're my friend. I know you got my back. I know you'll do anything to make sure that I get what you have for me. But because most people just know him as Savior, they've become converts, but they've never become disciples, where they walk through him in the difficult times of life. Are you with me? And if you've lived long enough, in particular if you're married, there's going to be some good times and some bad times. Some times where you will have to sacrifice. Some times when you're going to have to bite your tongue and shut up. In marriage, come on, y'all acting like y'all don't. Maybe that's why your marriage is jacked up. Let me get back up here. Y'all like me better when I'm back here in the back. Just okay? All right? Okay, so did y'all see that? It's a process. It's progressive. Amen? All right, so turn over. Now, so this, any marriage relationship, and that's why I needed you to hear last week's message. Any marriage relationship, there is going to be this mutual love. For a healthy relationship, there's going to be mutual commitment, a shared commitment. There's going to be a shared sacrifice. We're going to have to all be willing in a marriage relationship. I'm going to have to give up some things. Shanae's going to have to give up some things. Come on, somebody. In order to bear fruit children, there's going to be some real sacrifice. Come on. I just got to make sure that you know the other side of this coin. This Christianity is just not going to, we get to do whatever we want. Thank God for grace, and I'm just going to be rich, and everything's good. No, no, no. This is a marriage, and if you've been married for more than a year, I'll give you a year for that honeymoon year. But after that, come on, somebody. Oh, I'm going to wait for the rest of y'all. Amen. All right. Okay, and it's the same with this relationship with Christ. So we know God loves us. We know God loves us. All right, here's one verse. But y'all say, for God so loved the world. We know this. But look at 1 John chapter 4:10. I'm going to read it in the NLT, New Living Translation. How many of y'all are learning already? Watch this. This is real love, John writes. Not that we love God. And what he's describing here, he's saying, what real genuine love is, it's not how we love God, but it's how he loves us. Our love, the benchmark for love is God's love. He said, this is what real love is. You know, oftentimes when we teach grace, many have gotten the opinion that there's nothing they have to do. Just God does everything. He loves me. It don't even matter if I love him. Wrong. You're in a marriage relationship, but what he's saying here is, this is what genuine true love is. God is always going to love you more than you love him. But watch, all right? Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Watch this. Love always comes with sacrifice, and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. True love always has sacrifice. All right? Amen. Now, so we know God loves us. We could spend all day, Luke chapter 15, just talking about all the verses that talk about how much God loves us and the pictures in the Bible. Okay, how many of y'all know God's in love with us? Some of y'all still not sure. Okay, this is an active participating church, interactive. How many of y'all know God's in love with you? Okay, good, good, good. Hit the person next to you saying it right now. Put your hand up. Just put it up. Okay, all right. Okay, so we know that. I'm not going to belabor that. Okay, but let's move into this part that Jesus called the greatest commandment. Turn over to, in your Bible, to Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. It's in all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But Jesus says this. He was questioned by the scribes and the Pharisees. Pharisees, they asked him a question. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, here it is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. This is what Jesus said. Here's the first commandment in life. Love the Lord your God with all your whole, with all your heart, all your soul, all your heart, all your mind, right? And look at this one. First commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Next. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Stay right there for a second. What he's saying here, he's saying under the old covenant, there were 10 commandments, right? And a bunch of statutes, 613. But under the new covenant, there is going to be two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's vertical love. Watch what I'm making here. That's vertical love. And then there's this horizontal love between you and your neighbor. What does that make? That makes the cross. What Christ is about, he said, there's two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Second is like the first, love your neighbor, but then he says here, like you love yourself, right? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Why? Why does that hang on all the law and the prophets? If you study under the Old Testament, there's 10 commandments in Exodus. The first five are all, you should, don't make any graven images, Lord. The first ones are all about loving God. Right? Then there's the Sabbath that comes in. And then the last four, then it comes honor your mother and your father. Then the last ones are all about don't steal, don't murder, don't commit adultery. If you really love your neighbor, John gives more specific explains who your neighbor is. Your neighbor is your fellow saint of God, fellow believer. All right? It's your fellow believer. All right. And Jesus. And I'll have to go into that in greater detail. But all right? So he's saying, love, first of all, you got to receive this love from God so that you can love God. You're not able to love God unless you receive his love. And you certainly aren't able to love your fellow brother and sister unless you receive this vertical love and give this vertical love. All right? And there's a cross. If you're committing adultery, if you're committing fornication, it's because you don't, watch, you haven't received the love of God and you don't love God to make you stop hurting your neighbor. Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian, Pentecostal. I'm gonna give y'all Pentecostal on that one. About five of y'all. Yeah. Okay, go to the next one. All the law and the prophets hang on these two things. Did I go to verse 40? Okay, all right, so we covered all that. Very good. Jump on over to John chapter 13, because Jesus upgrades that second one. That second one, John chapter 13. Here we are again at the Last Supper. At the Last Supper, again, Jesus shares some very important things. So at this Last Supper, he explains some of the details of life and what it all means. So he says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. But all it is he tweaked the second one. Watch this. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Next. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Okay, so all he did was just upgrade that last one. There's two commandments under the new covenant, two commandments from Jesus. And, you know, when he says, Love your brother like I've loved you means you don't commit adultery on your spouse with somebody else, because that says you don't love your spouse. You don't love me because you ain't treating her right. All right, are y'all with me? So do y'all see that right there? He says, this will prove to the world when you love each other, your fellow brother in the Lord, this will say something to the world outside there. When we're fussing and fighting, bickering, doing the same thing that the world does, the world goes, oh, they're just like me. But when you love one another and you stick together and you have each other's back and you support your brother, you speak only well of your brother and your sister, you're not committing adultery, you're not getting caught up in the same foolishness as the world, God said, that'll show them that you're my disciples. Not my convert, my disciple. Stick with me. Are y'all with me? Are y'all learning already? Let's go in a little bit deeper. Now watch this. Let's take a test real quickly. Test. Here we go. We're gonna take this test by the sign of the raised hand. Who says they love God? Who loves the Lord in here? He heard my cry. I love the Lord. Who says they love the Lord in here? Let me see your hand. Come on, somebody. Put your hand up. I love the Lord. Okay, everybody without their hand up, I'm not going to make you raise it, but there's a lot of people that says, I do not love the Lord, because y'all catching on already. That means I didn't know you. Isn't that right? Okay, let's read out. Here, let's find out. You see what I wrote here. Everyone they says they love God. Well, fortunately, not everybody did. But how do we know? What is the acid test? How do we know if we really do? Let's look to the scripture. Let's let Jesus tell us if we really love him, if we know him or not. Turn over to John chapter 14, and let's look at verse 15, 21 through 24. I love that girl right there on the front row. What's your name, cutie? I want to know you. Come on, somebody. Oh, yeah, I already do. Because if we love the Lord, okay, let's just read it. Jesus said it, John chapter 14, verse 15. All right. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. All right. He said, now watch, in the New Testament, Paul writes things that say, like, don't be shacking up with each other. Don't be committing fornication with each other. Don't be committing adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie on your brother. All this stuff, right? Those are the commandments in the new covenant, and that's what Jesus is talking about. He said, if you really love me, you wouldn't be sleeping and shacking up with each other. Everybody all right? Everybody all right? Lock the doors back there. Ushers, close them doors over there. All these side doors. Y'all ain't moving. Don't act like you got to go to the bathroom right now. Lock the bathroom doors. Come on, how many of y'all want to just be real here? You do not want to be standing before the Lord talking about, yeah, I was out there, yeah, I was over there at Destiny Bless's name. Jesus is like, what's your name? I don't know you. Excuse me, Pastor Stokes know me. Pastor Stokes ain't standing before me. You are. I know Pastor Lee. Who are you? Let me start talking about what you did. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Mark that in your Bible. Come on. Jump on over to verse 21. Look what Jesus says. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And look at this. And will manifest myself to him. If you really love me, I will be showing up in your life. Go to the next one for me. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, because this is at the Last Supper, Lord, how is it that you'll manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Good question. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. How will Jesus manifest himself to us and not to the world? Jesus' answer is, if anyone really loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We're going to come and live with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. They're shacking up. They still come to church. But Pastor, I sang in the choir. And? But Jesus, I ushered. And? You get what I'm saying? Come on, somebody, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. We're going to make disciples this year. Here's what's going to happen. Either you're going to get on board with it, or you just go to some other church that tells you whatever you want to hear. And I'm happy either way. I would rather, because I got to, look, because I got to stand there too. And Jesus is going to say, did you tell them what I said? I had a car wash and fried some chicken. She's like, I don't care about your chicken dinners or your car washes. You get what I'm saying? Come on, somebody. I got to stand there too. And I can't be bringing up what you told me. Well, they said, they ain't here either. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but it's my Father's who sent me. Are y'all with me? That's the acid test. He said, no. If you're hearing this word and doing it, that's that parable that we read. He said, yeah, those are the ones whose lives will be changed too. Their life won't be all jacked up, tore up from the floor up like the world's. All right, are y'all with me? Let's try our smiling exercise. It's getting a little thick in here. Come on. Shine off 32 of your pearly whites or your 22s, whatever you rock it in your mouth. Dingy yellows, gray and black, whatever you got, smile real big at the neighbor next to you and say, we really learning up in this church. Some of y'all can't look around. Just keep looking straight at me then. I'm good. It's all good. Turn over in your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. Good God, I'm having a ball. We're going to make disciples this year. We're going to get this thing right, man. Y'all watch me. 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. Here's another one of those good translations that really bring out the scriptures. Y'all with me? How many of y'all learning already? Mm-hmm. Some of y'all are like, I ain't learning a daggone thing. Hey, just know you heard it. He that hears and does, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house on a rock. He who hears, how many of y'all hear me? I'm going to wait for y'all. Some of y'all lying right now. You hear me. Check one. Check two. Seba, you hear me in the back, baby? Seba hears me. She's in the very back. That means every one of y'all between me and my daughter Seba hears me. Put them up. Let me see. Put them up. Hit your kids next to you if they sit next to you. Say, put your hand up right now. We making accountability right now. Okay, that's everybody. All y'all back here on the sides. Let me make sure. Over here. Y'all good over here? Okay. Everybody hears me. Okay. Let's read this one. I'm in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Here's how we can be sure that we've truly come to know him, to know God. It's all in the scriptures. Here's how we can be sure that we've truly come to gnosko him, have intimate relationship with him. Here we go. If we keep his commands. If we keep his commands, that means we actually know him and have intimate relationship with him. How many of y'all want to know him? Yes. Keep that arm loose because I'm going to ask y'all some more questions. Just keep it ready. Look at verse 4. If someone claims, oh God, the Bible explains everything. I have come to know God by experience, yet doesn't keep God's commands. He's a phony! And the truth finds no place in him. Go to the next one, please. Watch this. But the love of God will be perfected within the one who obeys God's word. Whoa. This brings me back to what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 22. What are the two great commandments? Number one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Second is like the first. Love your neighbor like I've loved you. Let's just go give the upgraded version, John 13. Okay, so watch. In order to love the Lord your God, I've got to receive his love and really make a commitment, and right? Walk with him in relationship. And God says here, If you really know God, the love of God will be perfected within the one who obeys God's word. You see, it's all talking about the same thing. When you really know God, you'll love him and his word will be in you, and his word will, as you obey his word because you love God, he says, look what he says, but the love of God will be perfected within the one who obeys God's word. We can be sure that we've truly come to live in intimacy with God. All right? Obeys God's word. Not just by saying I am intimate with God, but by walking in the footsteps of Jesus. He said, when you know me, I'll come and live with you. He said, walk with me now. Remember we read it last week, Matthew 11. He says, yoke with me. Come yoke with me. My burdens are easy. Get yoked up with me, right? Not just by saying I'm intimate with God, but by walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Go to the next, where are we at? Let's see. Jump on over in your Bible. Did y'all see that? So loving God and keeping his commands comes from intimately knowing him. All right? Walking with him. And I'm going to explain all this. If y'all come next week, just keep coming. I'm going to explain how this all works out. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 through 10. I'm in the same translation. All right? Watch this. Anyone who indulges in sin lives in moral anarchy, for the definition of sin is breaking God's law. Now watch what he's talking about. Again, he's talking to believers who, now, not a true believer, but a believer, I will say it like this, a convert who received Jesus as Savior, but never really knew him. Didn't get beyond that. Are y'all with me? Watch what he says. Anyone who still living in sin, in moral anarchy, for the definition of sin is breaking God's law. Next. And you know without a doubt that Jesus was revealed to eradicate sins, and there is no sin in him. All of us as believers will occasionally miss it. But if you're still caught up in fornication, still caught up in adultery, still caught up in homosexuality, still caught up in lesbianism, still caught up in it, come on, somebody. If we're still caught up in those things, if you're really born again, you don't want to be, number one. You may occasionally miss it, but you don't want to be caught up in that. Come on, somebody. Come on, all of us have done things and regretted it if we're really born again. If you're not born again, that's your normal lifestyle. It's like, don't even mess with me. That's who I am. Y'all get it? Dogs bark, cows moo, cats meow, sinner sin. Saints don't live in sin, though. Not true saints. Hit the person next to you and say, he's talking to us. Stop playing. I don't see y'all hitting nobody. Y'all all right back there? Y'all good? Okay. All right. Okay, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in union with him will not sin. And he's talking about you will not live in sin continually. When you're in union with him. Go on. But the one who continues sinning hasn't seen him with discernment or known him by intimate experience. Doesn't that explain a lot? That explains a lot. Watch this. Delightfully, he says, now I already love you. You're delightfully loved. The problem isn't that God doesn't love us. He does love us. The problem is we haven't loved him. Come on, what kind of marriage would Shanae and I have? I love you. And she's like, okay. You know when you first start dating somebody and you know, you're ready to take it to the next level and you try to drop the big one on them. I love you. And they'd be like, thank you. Y'all ever get the thank you back? Like, thank you. Right. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? And they just said, I ain't quite there yet. And God, you know, some believers, they're about to die. They was about to lose everything. So they're like, Lord, I need a Savior. And God's like, I'm so loving. I will save you. But I've got much more for you. You know, and typically they get saved and then that's it. And so we've got to help people to go to that next level of discipleship. And it's going to, first of all, it's going to require us being true disciples. It's going to require us actually knowing him ourselves. Are y'all with me? But this is God's plan. It wasn't just to make a bunch of converts and then they go out back in the streets and do whatever they want. They have to be discipled. God saves them, but we must disciple them. And Jesus said, this love thing, you get this love thing right with me and you, and you get it right with your neighbor, they'll know you're my disciple. All right? Delightfully loved children, don't let anyone divert you from this truth. The person who keeps doing what is right proves that he is righteous before God, even as the Messiah is righteous. Next. But the one who indulges in a sinful life is of the devil, because the devil's been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. Everyone who is truly God's child, come on, somebody, take a picture of the screen. Go ahead while I'm smiling. Everyone who is truly God's child will refuse to keep sinning because God's seed remains within him, and he is unable to continue sinning because he's been fathered by God himself. You all right back over in the back? Go ahead, clap one more time. Let me see if they're part of it. Okay, I want to make sure we get from the front to the back. All right. Y'all good over here in this section? TK, good to see you, man, back there. All right, watch this. Here's how God's children can clearly be distinguished from the children of the evil one. Anyone who does not demonstrate righteousness and show love. Now say this is progressive. Are y'all with me? People who, just like a baby. Come on, somebody. Just like a baby. You take a baby home, that baby doesn't know how to do anything but cry, eat, and poop. Come on, that's it. That's it. So with some time, come on. If you're 20-year-old or you're 30-year-old is still wearing a diaper, something's wrong, right? If you still got to feed them like this, there's some problem. You'll get what I'm saying. So yes, we gonna change your diapers for a little while. We gonna have to keep calling and following up. Come on, you come to church today? We're going to help you do that at first. But after a while now, we got to help you get on your feet, and you need to be standing on your own 2 feet. So it's progressive, but we got to make sure you know the right things and get discipled, learn what the foundations are, all right? Anyone who does not demonstrate, here it is, righteousness and show love to fellow believers is not living with God as his source. He's not depending on God. Y'all see that? Does not show love. Beloved children, don't you love how John says that? Now, we are beloved by God. God loves us. Don't get that twisted. God's got you. He loves you. Our love can't be an abstract theory we only talk about, but a way of life demonstrated through our loving deeds. He said, when you get this love thing right with God, you'll love your neighbors. It will show up horizontally. Can't just be something we say. Watch this. We know that the truth lives within us because we demonstrate love in action, which will reassure our hearts in his presence. Watch this. Whenever our hearts make us feel guilty and remind us of our failures, we know that God is much greater and more merciful than our conscience, and he knows everything there is to know about us. Watch this, y'all. He's showing us here how God's going to correct you. Your heart, when you're caught up in, come on, y'all know it. Can y'all be honest today? When you're born again, when you're truly born again, he said, you get caught up in some foolishness, your heart's going to go, that ain't right. You know what? This shacking up thing ain't working right. This, you know. But see, what we typically do is look at our money. Well, but you know, but my money's better when we shacking up together. Can I keep? Y'all going to be funny? It's better with both of our money together, not in the long run. All right? Do the thing right. Or we come up with all kinds of excuses. But if you're really saved, he's saying here, watch that. Watch that heart going, this ain't right. Don't do this. Don't do that. Back off of this. Get this thing right. Come on, somebody. Watch this. That's what he's talking about right here. He says, God already knows everything about you, so he's dealing with your heart to get in line with this. And just like, come on, y'all, all of us, it's easy to get off course a little bit, but down the road you find yourself, here's the mark, and you're way over here now. So God starts nudging on your hearts. And all of us have a flesh to deal with. All of our flesh is crazy. Everybody in here. Every person in the world. So now you've got the seed of God living on the inside of you. You start acting, doing something in your flesh, your heart, God living on the inside of you. Say, whoa, 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 that's a bad direction. You get it? He'll convict you of that, right? Whenever our hearts make us feel good, okay, reminds us, go to the next one. My delightfully loved friends, when our hearts don't condemn us, when our heart is right, we have this clear conscience with God. This, when our hearts don't condemn us, we have a bold freedom to speak face to face with God. Hear what he's saying. When God lets you know in your heart this is wrong, he says, get that right. And what you do is just repent. Lord, okay, that's wrong. I got to get this thing right. Whatever it is, you cussed out somebody. You did this. You went off, and the Holy Spirit, your heart will condemn you. It'll convict you. And go, that wasn't right. And get that right with him. And repent. Say, we all need to repent. All repent means is change your thinking. Get back in line with it. All right? And so we find out what God says and say, you know what? I'm not going to do it that way anymore. All right? He says, and whatever we ask, when our hearts don't condemn us. Watch. He's saying here, when you're living in sin, you got an issue that's going on. God's saying, get it right so you can come back to me and I can begin to get you everything that you need. And whatever we ask him, we receive when our hearts don't condemn us. When you're caught up in junk going before God, you know it like, I ain't really going to ask God for nothing, you know, because I got this issue going on right here. God is saying, fix that so you can come to me. Jesus said the same thing in the Gospels. He said, don't roll up on me in the church talking about, let me ask God for something. He said, go back and fix that with your brother first. Leave that. Go fix that and now come back and holler at me. Why? Because that's how they're going to know that you're real about this. It's your love for me and you, and then your love horizontally. Come on. And whatever we ask him, we receive because we keep his commands. We do the thing like we're supposed to do it. And by our beautiful intentions, we continue to do what brings pleasure to him. Verse 23, so these are his commands, that we continually place our trust in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we keep loving one another just as he's commanded us. Notice this. He said this loving, this vertical love is us trusting in him. Trusting in him in our finances, trusting in him with the wisdom that we need for whatever it is, for our home, for our children. We need this close, intimate relationship with him to get it right with people. That's what he's saying. For all who obey his commands find their lives joined in union with him, and he lives and flourishes in them. We know and have proof that he constantly lives and flourishes in us by the Spirit that he's given us. Did y'all catch that? Jump over to chapter 4. These are all John's writings. All John had a revelation of the love of God and explains how this thing works. Oh, it's so awesome. Look at this next chapter, John chapter 4. I'm just going to read 3 verses. Watch this. We are of God. He who gnoskos God hears us. Who is us? John, Paul, the writers of the New Testament. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us. Here's the word. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Watch this. He didn't say, he called it a spirit of error. When you're not hearing the word, you're going to get into error. Error. Come on, somebody, just off track a little bit. All right? So we got to hear the word. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves, watch this verse quickly, closely. Everyone who loves is, number one, born of God and knows God. What? Everyone who loves his neighbor. That means, now remember what he said, what I said. Loving your neighbor means you're not committing fornication, you're not committing adultery, you're not. Anyone who loves his neighbor is born of God, number one, and knows God, number two. Both. He distinguished between the two. Look at the next verse. He who does not love his neighbor, still caught up in junk, does not know God. What did he leave out? He left out born of God. This says he can be born of God, yet not. Y'all see that? For God is love. Now, let me just read, and our closing moments here, just put it up here if you would. I just wanted to read to you chapter 15 of the Gospel of John. I'm just going to read it in the Passion Translation, if you can, because this is Jesus at the Last Supper saying what John explained there. He explains this love of God, how it's going to work. Are y'all with me? This is the last thing I'm going to read, and then we're going to dismiss. If you can, just be seated right now. If you can, just hold on. We're almost done. Jesus says, I am the true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and by lifting up and propping. Now watch. Here in this, he says, there's some branches. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. There are some branches that aren't producing fruit. Why aren't they producing fruit? Because they're not intimately connected to me. Are y'all catching it? They're not producing joy. They're not producing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, temperance, long-suffering. They're not producing the fruit of the Spirit. They're not producing the career, the life that God has for them. They're part of me, but they're fruitless. Again, I just want you to see, you could be born of God but not know God, and that's what he's going to talk about here. The Father cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless ones. Right? Branches, and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. God said, I'm going to deal with the ones that are fruitless and the ones that are bearing fruit. I'm going to have to lift up the ones that aren't, and I'm going to prune the ones that are. Bearing fruit. It's right here. The words that I've spoken over you have already cleansed you. He said, listen, you've already gotten born again. You're already born of God because you received the word. So you must, next step though, remain in life union with me. Walk with me. Next week, I'm going to explain what this means. I'm going to give you six things that relationship entails, right? So you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit. It's a branch, but you're severed from the vine. They're still part. Do you hear what he's saying? They're not bearing fruit because their relationship is severed. So you must remain in life. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. That's that resurrection life he was talking about, Paul was talking about. If a person is separated from me, he's discarded. Not that Jesus has discarded you. It's because you're not connected to him. Your life gets discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, here's the alternative, living in life union with me, and if my, look at these two things, you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you. Not just prayer, not just fellowship, praise, but the word. Let me just give you peace here. Some people are, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. The Bible does not say that faith comes by reading. Wisdom comes by reading. It says it all over the Proverbs. Faith comes by hearing. It's more important for you to hear the word from an anointed pastor, teacher, than it is to just read the word. Faith comes by hearing. Wisdom comes by reading. You want to read, you want to get wisdom, you're going to have to read those Proverbs. All right, are y'all listening to me? Okay, so don't get into condemnation about reading, but make sure. But here's what the devil will do, will cut you off from hearing. Make you think it's more important to be at Bedside Baptist with Pastor Pillow and Reverend Sheets. In the book of Z's, if you know what I'm talking about. Get your tell up and get to church and get here on time. Clap in the back there, y'all all right? Way back over here, y'all all right? Clap some more so we don't leave them out. Some are like, I ain't clapping. I ain't coming on time. I'm talking to disciples. If you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. Everybody likes that part, but they didn't get the prior verses. I want to ask whatever. Like, no, you forget. You missed all that other part about being connected to me. You about to be burnt. Can I talk straight with y'all? Y'all good? Call you my most intimate friends, for I reveal to you everything that I've heard from my Father. When you're my intimate friend, I'm going to share with you everything you need to know about you. How many of y'all want that? Say it out of your mouth. I need to be a disciple. That's what I thought. Look at this. You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to do what? The world needs to see your peace. The world needs to see your joy. It's his peace, it's his joy. The world needs to see your smile, your prosperity, your happiness, your blessed marriage. You're living right. You're doing it right. He said, I've sent you here for that. Watch this. And your fruit will last, because whatever you ask my Father for my sake, he will give it to you! Exclamation point. Jesus yelling. So this is my parting command. Love one another deeply. Just remember, when the unbelieving world... Okay, here comes the suffering part. Just remember, when the unbelieving world hates you, they first hated me. If you were to give your allegiance to the world, they would love and welcome you as one of their own. But because you won't align yourself with the values of this world, you won't align yourselves with their sexuality, with their shacking up, with their adultery, with their homosexuality, with their lesbianism, with their lying, cheating, and stealing. Come on, did y'all lost it right there? Like, oh, hold up. I likes my booty calls, though. They would love and welcome you as one of their own, but because you won't align yourselves with the values of this world, they will hate you. I've chosen you and taken you out of the world to be mine. So remember what I taught you, that a servant isn't superior to his master. And since they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If the world obeys my teachings, they will also obey yours. They will treat you this way because you're mine, and they don't know the one who sent me, Gnosko. If I had not come and spoken these things to the unbelieving world, they would not feel the guilt of their sin. But now their sin is left uncovered. I told them what was right and what was wrong. They hate me for it. If anyone hates me, they hate my Father also. If I had not performed miracles in their presence like no one else has done, they would not feel the guilt of their sins. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. And all of this has happened to fulfill what is written in their scriptures. They hated me for no reason. And I will send the divine encourager from the very presence of my Father, the Holy Spirit. He will come to you, the Spirit of truth emanating from the Father, and he will speak to you about me. And you will tell everyone the truth about me, for you have walked with me from the start. Close your Bible.